Has Thanksgiving been canceled for the Christian? Some would like to cancel it. Some would like to cancel it for everybody. And I want us to think about that for a few minutes this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone again. It's good to see everyone that's able to be out this morning. We need to keep praying for those that are unable to make it out and to pray for the work of the church. And again, we're so thankful that we have another brother and sister in Christ that obeyed the gospel this week. Brother Code talked about giving thanks Wednesday evening. And with this being a national holiday this week, I think it's good and timely to consider that a little bit more. Here is somebody that wishes that Thanksgiving was canceled. He said, that can't be right when this turkey looks on his phone and it says, Thursday's temperature, 350 degrees. He wishes it was canceled. But with the holiday, there are those that are trying, along with many other things, to control our behavior and make us act differently than what we would use the phrase we normally have. This is guidelines from one of the states for the upcoming holiday season and talking about social gatherings. And what is a social gathering? Social situations that bring together people from different households at the same time in a single space or place. And with these guidelines, they're saying you can't have more than people from more than three households. They say keep the households you spend time with stable. If you have people from three different households, don't mix or mingle together. They say collect names and contact information of attendees for contact tracing. They want you to write down the names, addresses, phone numbers of everybody that's coming together. It says the gatherings must be held outside. There's a lot in this, and this is just an abbreviated form. Gatherings should only be 2 hours or less. People are like just pulling this stuff out of the air, they're making up. Singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged. When I was growing up and thinking of Thanksgiving, you couldn't hear somebody 2 feet away when everybody was talking at the table and a football game was going on and people were yelling and screaming. Singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged. Those who participate in those activities should wear masks. These are changes that are being brought about socially. Unfortunately, they're being brought about, and it is affecting our spiritual family also. And we need to be mindful that we are in a spiritual kingdom. One other thing to mention, as I did in class this morning, the bulletin that I have is for this evening, so I'll pass it out tonight. So there's not a bulletin for this morning. But we need to remind ourselves that we are in a spiritual kingdom. We serve the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in the kingdom that shall never be shaken. In Psalm 107, beginning at verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate place. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Friends, the national holiday is one thing and what is going on, but as a Christian, we should always have a mindset that we are always giving thanks to the Lord. And we should never let anybody try to cancel these things that we give thanks to the Lord for. So we need to consider some of the things, and some of us, unfortunately, may have stopped giving thanks long ago for some of these things. But consider, are you still thankful that you were taught the truth? In Matthew 28, 18 and 20, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Are you glad? Are you still glad that someone obeyed the Great Commission and taught others? That someone taught you? What if nobody had taught you? You wouldn't be here this morning. You would be lost. You'd be separated from God. We need to be thankful that someone taught us the gospel as Jesus commanded. People cannot be saved without obeying the gospel, and they are not going to obey the gospel unless they are taught the gospel. We need to be thankful of that, always giving thanks to God for that. Well, are you thankful that you were added to the church? How many years ago were you added to the church? Are you still thankful? In Acts 2, 46 and 47, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Are you thankful for that? You know, friends, we are Gentiles. The Jews were God's chosen people. If we were still living under the old law, we would not have hope. We would not have hope. But God reconciled both the Jew and the Gentile in one in Christ in the church. And we are granted by God's grace and mercy that we can enter into the church when we are obedient to Him. God did not owe us that. Some people, again, the mindset is so prevalent, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody just do whatever you want to do and God will welcome you in. Friend, the Bible does not do that. It does not say that. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. We should thank God every day that we can be members of His church, that He, by His compassion and grace and mercy, allowed us to learn His truth and to be added to the church. And friend, when we are added to the church, when we are added to the kingdom, we must reflect the life of the King. You can tell citizens of some nation, some countries, by the customs and manners that they observe. You can tell that. The way they dress, the way they talk, what they eat, how they go about their life. And friends, as members of the church, of the kingdom, of the spiritual kingdom, people should recognize in us that we are citizens of that eternal kingdom, by our actions, by our way of life. We need to be thankful for this and never let anybody try to stop us from being thankful that we were added to the church. How about, are we still thankful for the remission of sins? Many of these things that I'm mentioning, I think we just take for granted. We take for granted. In Acts 8, beginning at verse 36, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This Ethiopian rejoiced because he had obeyed the gospel. He knew his sins were forgiven. Friends, sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. And I hope that just like the Ethiopian, all of us rejoiced when we were baptized. And I hope we don't stop rejoicing. Because if we stop rejoicing, Satan is getting a hold of us. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for that. And for those of you that have been baptized recently, I just want to say Satan has three plans for everybody. It's the same for everybody. He's got three different plans. The first one, he's going to try to keep us out of the church. That's what he tries to do. If we get in the church, he's going to try to take us out of the church and take us back into the world, back into his kingdom. If he's not successful at that, then he's going to make us be, like we talked about several weeks ago, useless in the church. Well, if I can't get them to go back in the world, they can stay where they are, and I'll just make them where they aren't fruitful, where they aren't fruitful. Friends, we have the remission of sins. We should rejoice in that. We should rejoice in that. But has Thanksgiving been canceled for the Christian? You look and you talk at some, and you would think it has. The way they walk around with these long faces, so sad, so gloomy. I don't know what's going to happen. We need to be joyful. Don't let Satan cancel your Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Be thankful. Well, are you happy? Are we happy that we have God's word recorded for us? Are you thankful? Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." Friends, are you thankful? Are you thankful that we have God's word? Do you appreciate it? How much time do you spend in God's word? What does it mean to you? Is it just a book you have on your shelf with 100 other books? Or is it special to you? It was written to us. It was written to us. It's special. This is a letter from my dad. He would write me letters. And you know what? They're special to me. They're very special. And we need to look at the Bible that way. This one was written April 28, 1992. He wrote this to me on my birthday. And the letters that he wrote me, I still have. The letters that Carol wrote me, I still have. And they're special. They're special. And, you know, when I get out one of these letters to read it, what I do, I read it all the way through. I can't read. I think I'll read paragraph number one today. I'll read paragraph number two. I'm going to wait, and then next week I'll read paragraph number 10. Does that make sense? But how do people read the Bible? Oh, I think I'll read this couple of verses here today. Maybe next week I'll read some others. Friends, are we thankful that we have God's Word? Are we thankful that it's recorded? Are we thankful that when you read, you may understand my knowledge into the mystery of Christ? You know, I read this letter again the other night, and it just brought so many memories about my father and things that he was going through in his life and things that he did and things that he wanted for me. And that's nice, but that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what our Heavenly Father wrote for us. Are we thankful? Are we thankful for that? We are so blessed to have this written down. You know, another one of my favorite sections of the Bible is in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are so many mansions. If you're not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We know this account. We know it. Do you know when Jesus said this? It was shortly before he died. It was shortly before he died. And I've mentioned this before, but when I went to see my brother, when Carol and I went to see my brother in Missouri, and we saw him in the hospital, and it was the most wonderful conversation I probably had with him. And he asked me how I was doing and how the family was doing and are you doing this and that, and he was giving me advice. And that was on a Saturday afternoon after we got out there. And then we didn't want to go and see him on Sunday and wear him out in the hospital again, because it would so hard on him to talk. Monday, when we headed home, we got a call that he had passed. He had died. And you know, I kept playing over and over in my mind those words that he said to me. And you know what? Right now, I can only tell you a few of the things that he said. I can remember the feeling, but I can only tell you a few of the things that was said, because it wasn't recorded. It wasn't written down. Wasn't written down. Friends, we have the mind of God. We have the mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ written down. We don't have to worry about forgetting it. Are we thankful for that? Or do we just take it for granted? Well, I'll open my Bible and I think I'll read this chapter today. Boy, that was good. That was good. Friends, that's not going to change your life. You need to get to know your Father. You need to get to know God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. You need to get to know your brother. You need to get to know your brother Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. We need to be thankful for that. We need to never stop being thankful for that. Are we thankful that we have God's Word? That we have it written down for us. John 12:48 says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Are you thankful that we have the word written down, that word that's going to judge us? You know, in school, when we would have tests, didn't you want to know the answers to that test before you took the test? And God says there's a test coming one day. There's going to be a judgment. And here's all the answers. Here's all the answers. You know, we've got mountains of information available at our fingertips every day. On our phone, on our computer, on the TV. Mountains of information of it. And most of it, we shouldn't even waste our time looking at it. It's just bubble gum for the mind that takes up our time. And our time on this earth is so limited. Are we reaching our goal of what we need to become as a Christian? We need to see, when we look at things in this life, we need to see those things that are eternal and those things that are temporary. And why spend things that are temporary, that are all going to be gone in a few years, a few short years? Friends, we need to spend our time in the Word of God. Well, are we still thankful that we are part of the family of God? Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Friends, if you're a member of this congregation here, this isn't the size of the church. We wouldn't even show up as a handful. But we are part of the whole family in heaven. The whole family in heaven and earth. We are part of the family of God. Are we thankful of that? Are we thankful of that? We have brothers and sisters all over this world. Brothers and sisters we will meet in heaven. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That's up here. He wants to dwell up here. He wants our heart, our mind to be his throne. It's not miraculous. It's through the Word. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Stop and think about this. What is the width and length and depth and height of the love of God? What is the length and depth and height and width of God? We talked about this recently. It's immeasurable. It's infinite. It's without bounds. And the more we study, the more we understand and can appreciate that. Are we thankful that we are part of the family of God? That's one of the richest blessings that we have, is having brothers and sisters in Christ. We may have our family have nothing to do with us if we follow Christ, but we will have brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers without number when we follow Christ. And I mention it over and over. I lost my mother when I was in my late 20s, and I've got sisters in Christ that are my mother, that have been my mother longer than my physical mother was, and love me just as much. And that's nothing special with me. That's the way it is in the family of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we spend more time together than we do, most of us, with our physical families. We share the same blood. We talk about, well, are you a blood relative? We're a blood relative. My cousins, you know me, we're blood relatives. You know what? We're blood relatives with Christ. We've all been washed in the blood of Christ. We've been redeemed by his blood. We are children of God, brothers and sisters with each other. Are we thankful? Are we thankful? Or do we say, I can't believe that, brother. I can't believe that, sister. Where are they sitting? I'm going to sit over here. Are we thankful that we're part of the family of God? Are we thankful of the sacrifice of Christ? Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Christ gave up everything in heaven, where there is no sin, all the glories of heaven. and he came down and he sacrificed himself for us. Why did he do that? Because we're worth it? No. Because we deserve it? No. Because he loves us. And it was part of God's plan before the foundations of the world that he would build his church. He would build his church and we would become members of it. And it was only through the sacrifice of Christ. And why was it through the sacrifice of Christ? Because God determined that it was going to be through the blood. It's only through the blood that there can be atonement of sins. Praying the sinner's prayer isn't going to do anything. It's only through the blood. And that's why there were all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, to get people to understand that. But there was no perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. So God provided the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to come and to be our sacrifice. Are we still thankful for that? Has Thanksgiving been canceled for the Christian? Have we stopped being thankful for that? Are we still thankful for our inheritance? 1 Peter 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. What's our inheritance? It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, our inheritance is, again, it's hard to comprehend. And our inheritance is one of the things that should motivate us. Not only should the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ motivate us, but stop and think about this. What if you had a rich uncle and he was near his deathbed and he wrote a will and he was going to give you $20 million and there were stipulations in that will. You had to do this, 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 and this, and you're going to get $20 million. That would change most people's life. They would want to comply with that will because of that inheritance that they would receive. And again, $20 million is nothing compared to what's waiting for us in heaven. An inheritance incorruptible. It's going to last forever. It's undefiled. It does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's kept. It's guarded. Nobody can take our inheritance away. Satan can't take it away. We can give it away. The choice is up to us. We can give it away, but nobody can take it away from us. We are kept by God, by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are we thankful for our inheritance? Are we thankful for our trials? Why should we be thankful for trials? We talked about this in class. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As was pointed out in class, we are not perfect. We need to be refined just like gold. We need to have the fire put to us to get rid of those impurities. Why do we need to get rid of those impurities? So that we can be acceptable to God, so that we can have that inheritance. How are we going to be tested and tried? It's not like fire with a pot of gold. It's through trials. And again, God already knows where we fall short, but we don't. We don't. And maybe we love our house too much, our money too much, our car too much, our job too much, And God takes those away from us. And then we learn, maybe I need to love more God than all that stuff that I have. Maybe it's our health. Maybe you see some people, and I'm thinking of some sports athletes. If I said the name, you'd recognize them. But when they were young, they were so powerful. I am the greatest. You know who I'm talking about. I am the greatest. And then you see at the end of his life, you know, somebody that has to be led around by the hand. It humbles us. It humbles us because we are nothing without God. But we need to be thankful for our trials, because they are just, our trials are just as important to us as our blessings. And we need to look at them that way. Our trials are just as important to us as our blessings, because they point out to us what we need to do so that we can assure our home in heaven. So has Thanksgiving been canceled for the Christian? I hope it hasn't been canceled for you. But the question I want to leave you with is, what are you doing to show your thankfulness? What are you doing? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you praying to God? Are you talking to others? Do you go about with joy in your heart? Or do you go about like it's the worst day of your life? Friends, we have so much to be thankful for. So much. We need to count our blessings. Friends, is there anybody here this morning that wants to obey the gospel? Everything is ready. All you have to do is make up your mind that you want to do it. If we can assist anybody, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. I need